This week on The Droids You're Looking For, we talk about Lucasfilm's first non-Star Wars, non-Indiana Jones film that was announced this week. We talk about some new comments from Lawrence Kasdan on some little sneaky Easter eggs he tried to get into Solo. And we get in deep with Bob Iger's earnings call. That and more on The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Welcome back to The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Chris and Ryan, I am Sam. We are sadly not joined by Mike tonight. We're always one card short of a flush.
Sabacc.
We just don't have all four of us.
Of a full Sabacc.
Of a full Sabacc deck.
But Mike, you'll be missed. Guys, look, I wasn't here, and I just want to say, great job on the pod.
Oh, thank you.
In my absence, I missed you guys. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to really quick run down. A Walter PPK. Second, the mask from the senator in Mission Impossible 1. It was a democracy the last time I checked. My Raphael action figure, a 1989 grappling gun, a PlayStation 4 controller, my mic. And duh, Hans Dice. Oh. Those are my seven Horcruxes. Yep.
Nice.
Way to go.
I didn't ever get an answer. Did anybody watch the Gerald movie? Was that good? Was it a good? Should it have been a TV show? I'm not sure.
Oh God. You know, Sam, you're trying to joke your way out of this one. Were you so relieved to find out that your beloved Witcher actually was going to be a series?
I honestly forgot what it was called.
As a man who doesn't like RPGs, Sam, you would love that game.
I assume that's ironic.
You actually probably would like it, honestly.
I've thought about buying it so many times, but I think this is going to be like an Elder Scrolls repeat, where I bought that because it was supposed to be good, and I can't get into it.
I was going to say, do you think they'll make a TV show version of the game where you just play as like a digital, what's his name?
It'll be like, spoilers for Serenity 2018 in 3, 2, 1. It'll be like that movie Serenity from 2018, where it ends up that they're living in a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe it will. Sam,
I think it's from 2019. I think it's from this year, isn't it?
Is it? Oh my God. How time doesn't seem to pass when we're having a good time. Any insight into Sam, if you ask him, he'll say, oh, I'm looking for a new game to play. And if you say, what kind of games do you like? He names the biggest games that have ever been made.
He's like, I like something like a Mario.
Yeah, I like things like God of War.
I just realized, I think what it is, I like the most expensive, best made, most timeless games, and
you like quadruple A titles.
Yeah, there's not really a lot of room for experimentation, even though I'm always looking for something new to play. I just want more of the thing I like. And is that so wrong?
No, baby.
Hey,
no.
You keep doing you.
Speaking
of, you asked if I was relieved. Was I relieved? Was I relieved listening to last week's episode?
Would
No, because I had to listen to Chris.
Yeah.
Saying somebody bought you Gone Fishing? Somebody
This is a reveal to even me.
This is a retraction.
Somebody?
A reveal to me, the person who I think you both would agree knows each of you the best in this world.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, Ryan, any DVDs I pick up from, any Blu-rays, I pick up from now on are going right to you, baby.
Oh,
I thought you were going that you relieved yourself because this weekend Mike's baby relieved himself on Sam.
Oh, that is true.
I did.
We won't disclose. You know, it's you don't need to know anything else except to know that Mike has a baby and he peed on Sam.
Well, and I picked up a few tips from
those. The only details,
or at least that's what Sam's side of the story was.
Yeah, we don't know.
All I know is I was holding a baby and my pants were wet. So the last thing
when the baby learns to talk, hopefully he'll remember and
we can get the scoop on that,
Mike. I forgive you I forgive your son.
Is this going
to
be...
Let's on air, let's bury the hatchet this next week.
Every episode, we're going to have to just have some kind of retraction and bury some kind of hatchet. Is that how it is now? Is this...
Do you think, though, that'd be good for... I don't want to say ratings, but ratings? You think that'd be good?
I mean...
Oh, is that the Star Wars podcast where everybody fights?
Our producers did tell us to add a little drama.
Yeah.
Maybe we should. I did have my last... Look, the last thing I want to address from last week's pod, it was... Look, that last week, chock-a-block full of stuff I wanted to chime in on.
Oh, wow.
I was walking
around
weren't
there.
Screaming
moving
at
on.
Your phone.
Screaming at my phone. Now, don't... Kevin Smith, the mind-melting final shot.
Oh.
I got to weigh in.
Yeah.
Here's my thought, you guys.
Oh, Sam heard mind-meld, and he was freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe Chris didn't get to this.
Uh-oh.
Almost immediately. The final shot of episode 9 is to be continued. In episode 9, part 2.
Oh.
And it melts everybody's mind.
Oh,
Sam, I
man,
gotta tell
Sam.
You. I gotta tell you, do your butt cheeks hurt from sitting on that for a week?
Mine do.
The real last shot, I think, will be the... somebody mentioned just like zooming out, Chris. You said zooming out of the galaxy, just getting a wide look at everything. And I think it'll just keep zooming.
Oh.
We'll see that the entire Star Wars galaxy is just a marble on Orion's belt.
That's
or it'll zoom out like and it'll become like grainy and become a picture, and then we're at the press conference where Carl Sagan called the Earth a pale blue dot.
Hey Sam,
that'd be cool. That'd be poignant.
Sam, to your ending out, the only thing I have to say there is I didn't wait, dang it, I messed it up. I don't care.
You messed up. I don't care.
Yeah, I know.
Wait,
I almost
just,
said. I
just
almost
for
said.
Everybody.
I almost said I didn't
the,
kill my wife.
Anybody in the audience
I didn't
who was
kill my wife.
Anyone in the
I
audience
who
was born after 1989 and possibly had a social life in high school, we all got that reference. But I'll explain it to you. Orion's Belt is obviously referencing Men in Black, a movie from 1997.
Hard to say.
Six. '96,
which stars Tommy Lee Jones, and Chris was referencing The Fugitive, which came out in 1991, and a line that Tommy Lee Jones says in it to Han Solo himself is, "I don't care."
I
right,
don't care.
Just I, we can't.
Was I right wrong. About The Fugitive? Is it 91?
Oh God, I hold hold the line, please, sir.
Wow.
Watch
is,
out for the autofill
is,
when Sam
is,
puts an FU on his computer.
This is riveting. For our listeners.
they
93.
Wow.
Ooh, way
this
off.
This is humiliating.
Whammy.
This is almost as embarrassing as the Witcher thing. Anyway,
I'm just glad. I'm just glad we caught it.
Guys, I know. I'll tell you what. I'm not glad we caught it because that was a perfect opportunity for a correction next week.
There you go.
Gone. Wasted.
Nice.
Lost.
Nice.
Let's talk about some news.
Hey.
Lucasfilm. You ever heard of it? Yeah, I thought so. Me too. Lucasfilm, this week it was announced. I keep wanting to say today, and then I'm trying to hide it like we don't every time acknowledge that the podcast is recorded earlier than it's released.
Do you think people think that it's live?
At the time of this recording, you are listening to an audio document, a record, if you will, of the past.
I think
a past that you lived, but
at the time
here
of this
for.
Recording, it's been 1, 2, 3, 4 days since a baby peed on Sam.
And I'm
the,
still
that
angry
we
about
the
it.
Baby we know about that peed on Sam.
Yeah, it's only been a day and a half.
Yeah.
But
ABPS. That's how we'll refer to time after today. Baby peed on Sam. For ABPS.
Hey, Chris, don't bring your politics into the podcast.
Oh,
okay?
Sorry. Yep. Earth is flat. Go on.
Chris votes he's a flatter.
Mm-hmm.
He's
no, but
a flatter.
Have you ever actually seen it from space? Exactly.
Speaking of space.
Well, not really. Lucasfilm announced
speaking of stupid
today
fantasies.
Their first non-Star Wars, non-Indiana Jones property that's in development. It's called The Children of Blood and Bone.
I'm stoked. This really caught my imagination.
Ryan, what caught your imagination? Talk to us.
So not just the property. I was unaware of the franchise. I believe it's based on a series of books. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yes.
Yeah. So I was
Tom
unaware of
event something. Sorry.
It's okay. I was unaware of the franchise. It sounds cool. I mean, that's a dope name. It's being directed by Rick Famuyiwa, which is cool. He's like an interesting director. He directed this movie called Dope, and he also directed some episodes of The Shy and some episodes of the upcoming Mandalorian series. So that's cool. And also, the real thing that caught my imagination was this idea of Lucasfilm making movies that aren't Indiana Jones and Star Wars. It's not really a thing that they've ventured into. You know, like they've done video games through LucasArts and things like that, and some series like the Young Indiana Jones Adventures. Yeah. But it's, you know, they've kind of stayed just close to those franchises. Them to open up like this is cool.
It'll be neat to see them kind of excel from where they started. Like, I they did Willow. I believe they've like were a production house for Willow. So it is kind of following form still that they're doing.
Oh, right. Yeah.
They're doing the Indiana Jones, Star Wars, and then now a fantasy movie. So,
yeah, just to read really quick. Sorry, Chris. I just want to this is from Gizmodo's IO9. The description that I have here is set in a world where an evil king orders the culling of magi, who are practitioners of various elemental magics.
I'm already in.
Children of Blood and Bone follows a young orphaned magi named Zeli, who sets out to bring magic back to her people and strike back against the king who subjugated them. I mean, it's Star Wars. It's Star Wars, but with magic and Earth.
Well, in as much as Star Wars is all stories and all stories
it's just,
are Star Wars.
Yeah, it's just that retelling of the hero's journey, and they've applied a new template to it, and I'm very excited about it.
I think this is interesting that this is coming from IGN. The script was originally being developed by Fox 2000, so Disney technically acquired it in the merger.
Interesting. Fox, also a publisher of Star Wars for many years.
Yes. Which means that we may finally get the complete original trilogy remastered.
Oh my God.
You know, this isn't news to anybody.
Do we want that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we?
Huh?
I just don't know.
What don't you know about? Hold on. Stop everything. What don't you know about?
Yeah, this is the new topic of conversation. Forget the rest of the news. We're not talking about any earnings call. What are you talking about, Chris?
I think I'm done with the... I think we just got to let them live as they live. Like, we don't need to switch it up anymore. It's just too confusing.
Listen, okay. I'm not, like, one of those people who thinks that, like, just because they've been changed since the original release that they're now worth nothing, where it's like, I'm never going to watch it. They've ruined it. That's ridiculous to me. But just for the sake of, like, kind of, like, archival, I think it'd be really cool to have a watchable version of those original releases. You know, because they released them as special features on the DVDs a few years ago, and they weren't like even at resolution, and they were like almost not color corrected. So it's like I would like to see a version of those movies, even if they're still like I don't demand that they be like cleaned up to the point of everything. Although I don't think that like Lucasfilm would release them otherwise.
Right.
You know, they're not going to release like a Star Wars with a hair in the gate.
Well, but then I mean, like, how far back are we going then?
I'd be interested in seeing the original theatrical releases because I've never seen it.
Right.
It hasn't existed in an available way since I've been alive.
No, that would be fun. That would be great.
But then people would be mad because they weren't the, you know, VHSs from the... there's no way to win with this.
There's no winning here.
Well, I think there actually is, and I'm going to propose it now. I think it's interesting. Chris, you want to stick with the, you know, current sort of special editions that have been remastered that we've all grown up and lived with for the last several years. Ryan, you're, of course, an interesting archival position. I'd say change them again.
Oh,
I say add some new stuff.
You know
I'm
what?
Saying,
have
take
you seen
stuff
how
out.
Good CGI is?
Adds, you know, pick a character. Like, why? You know, why is Han Solo got to be a human?
Hey, and also, I think Obi-Wan.
You seen Avatar? Make him a Na'vi. They got the rights.
Also, I believe, like, Obi-Wan and Dex are friends. I want to see more of that.
Bring
also,
Dex in.
Who did they originally want for the parts? You know, not everybody was a first choice.
Yeah.
You know, say Kurt Russell may have been a choice for Luke Skywalker at a certain point. You know, do we have a scan of his head? Put him in the movie.
Well, we know Disney does have a scan of his
Disney
head at that
himself.
Time period.
I could have said anybody. This is kismet. Have a scan of early Kurt Russell.
I want young Russell. I want a Na'vi Han Solo. Right. And I want Alec Guinness in a scene with Dex. Just reanimate him. Do the Rogue One thing.
I do have a side theory where Disney may not be apt to do that because a lot of the changes in the remaster are to curb violence, and I'm wondering if they might be a little adverse to make the movies less.
You know
violent.
What I think? I think that Disney is all about curbing violence right up until somebody tells them
it curbs
how many dollar signs, how many dollar signs until an original release.
Yeah. You'll and be saying this until we see Deadpool in the Eternals.
Right, exactly.
In truth, I am with Ryan. I'd love to see the original theatrical cuts, and I realize that means that it's potentially putting at risk some of the less obvious and more subtle but important improvements that were made in the special editions. You know, mm-hmm. some of those shots that aren't the glaring CG inserts or the scenes where they've clearly, you know, rotoscoped in a new CGI character or something. Mm-hmm. There's a lot they did with, you know, like cleaning up some of the flights of the ships. There's obviously like some color adjustment going on to make things more vibrant and bright. And, you know, I would like to see a fully sort of restored but original version. Just because I think, look, that was what people saw in 77, and that's what started this whole thing. It's clearly good enough. It's, you know what I mean? Like, I want to see that. That's what he made. That's what he put out.
That's fair. Then he changed
He did. He did. And, you know, I've gone back in and, you know, I've talked about, like, I paint and draw. I've gone in and changed drawings or paintings later.
You've put walkie-talkies in their hands.
I've put walkie-talkies instead of the guns in their hands. Absolutely.
Didn't you also put a walkie-talkie over the bits of the nude of Chris that you painted?
Well, that was just required. For public
Chris
decency.
Was just holding a walkie-talkie.
Yeah, I was holding a walkie-talkie. Anyhow.
Above his head.
That was my hot and fresh.
Anyway, so I'm excited about Children of Blood and Bone. I think it's cool that Lucasfilm is venturing out. I think that the creative team that is involved is cool. They've done good work. The writer, the writer that's been tapped is Oyegun. There's no way that's correct.
Yeah,
but I gave an attempt.
It looks like Oyegun. Oyegun. But again, we're remiss.
And she's a writer on This Is Us, which is a show that many people like, and for all accounts has very good writing. And that's great.
Chris, you really want that scene with like Jabba the Hutt still in there?
Here's my thing.
In perpetuity.
I feel like it's one of these divisive topics in Star Wars, though. That's just like. There's such a like, oh, I want the originals. Like, oh, he's ruined everything. And I know you stated that you're not. I think it's just like, we can't.
You just don't want
those
people
to win.
Well,
here's the thing.
I
was very
rewarded.
Careful. And here's the drama for you. I was very careful not to strike that tone when explaining why I do want this to exist. Yeah. I'm not saying that it's like they tamper. For all, like, I'm sure that there are changes that he made, but people are obsessed with what they saw.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If a kid was born in 1998 and only saw the special editions and then got mad at the Blu-rays, they want the special editions. We want the VHS. Like,
am I curious? Am I curious? Absolutely. I'd love to see what they look
like. I've truly never seen it.
On that level, but I feel like I can't have this kind of feigned nostalgia for something that I haven't seen.
Well, yeah, I would be interested to see it. But here's the thing. It's like, for anybody who's been crying about how, like, George Lucas, like, won't release the original theatrical release and, like, that's what they saw, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't want to hear any complaining when it doesn't say Episode 4, New Hope at the beginning. Because that's not what it said. So it's like, I'm not sure if people always know what they're asking for.
I think
what they're really
asking
for is show me the one that I saw as a kid.
Well, I think it's a mix, right? I think it's like, show me the one that I saw as a kid, and also with like the improvements I liked that I didn't, because like nobody talks
the
about
one where
like
they, where
oh,
they cleaned
he changed...
up the mats around the TIE fighters,
right?
And stuff like that.
Yeah,
right. You know, and I think it's a very interesting. I actually think this is a super interesting question, right? For now, you know, now that the rights are all under one roof, this is, we look, we without knowing it, without being in the room, we know that there are a lot of people having this conversation, and mm-hmm. that decisions have already been made. Stuff is underway. They're either releasing it or making plans of how and when to do it. And I think it's fascinating, the idea of put yourself in the shoes of someone who's brought in to restore the original, yeah. Original film reels from Star Wars 77 as mm-hmm. released. Now, what are the things? Do you clean up those mats? Do you clean up like some of the lacing or whatever around the edges?
The recent re-release actually was like a very time intensive process. They scanned every single frame and cleaned every single frame. So I'd like to think that there is this kind of like clean cut version out there, that they took the original film strips and then scanned every frame in, cleaned every frame up, and then they did the coloring and all the remastering. Mm. So I'm wondering if that's the version that they release.
Which is interesting. And also, there is something like these Blu-rays of old movies that have been restored and remastered.
Yeah.
Like, there is tampering going on. It's not necessarily what you think. They're not adding Jabba. But if you watch if you watch Jaws on Blu-ray, it's not what it looked like in the theater. It looks like crisper. The color is different. It's like they're doing work to make it like more...
Yeah.
Again, not glaring work. They're not necessarily going in and CGIing someone's face to look younger or like whatever.
Well, yeah,
but it is never going to look how it did when you watched it, fresh
off
the
film. Well, that's the thing, is that like also just the fidelity of projectors and stuff may have been covering up a lot of those seams that we were just mentioning.
Absolutely.
Like the matting and the explosions and things like that. You might not have noticed.
Let's talk about
in the theater.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I agree, but like, let's talk about color specifically. Like, how blue is the lightsaber?
Mm-hmm.
And what is right to do? It's like it's carried forth. We know, but do you want the original or do you want it as you remember it, the bright blue? But like, and I'm just fascinated by the. First of all, I'm sure it's a number of people who collectively make that choice, but it's
actually,
has the final say?
There's
Who's the restoration person doing it?
There was a very funny thing where on Rebels, when they were doing the lightsabers initially, they did have the guy that originally did the lightsaber effect for A New Hope and all the other movies. There is like one lightsaber like reference consultant.
Huh,
and so when they were doing the actual lightsabers in Rebels, they went to this man and were like, hey, is this in the standard? So there is.
He was said, just George Lucas wearing fake nose.
He's wearing a mustache and a fake nose, but no beard. So he's wearing something that made him look like he had no beard.
Okay. Man. So he covered his beard. Yeah. Okay, so it's a full mask.
Yeah. Anyway, Children of Blood and Bone. I'm excited about.
Yeah, no, it should be great. I want Ron.
I hope
Howard
that they do more
it,
things
and,
like this.
Okay. Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. I think I like to see this as like if Lucas didn't like take kind of the break after Indiana Jones, like, and then they did Willow and they just kind of like leveled out for a while. Like, how far can this go? Are we going to get like a trilogy of these? Is there going to be a whole new type of movie? Like, Lucasfilm as a studio is an impressive, they're like a powerhouse, and I'm mm-hmm. very excited to see what they
can. And they take their brand very seriously.
Exactly.
And that's, it doesn't. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to play it safe all the time, because they know that their releases are supposed to be special thing, know? So
it's almost like
we'll see.
Some kind of like prestige brand, almost like Pixar is in that respect, where it's like, ooh, it's a Lucasfilm film.
And it's like, Pixar had that moment where they were releasing a movie a year and then it started to dilute the brand a little bit and they backed off. And I think Lucasfilm, I mean, they got there later in their tenure of the whole thing, but in terms of this kind of renewed Lucasfilm, they got there a little sooner than Pixar did.
Yeah.
So I think that they're making very deliberate choices. So I think that that's exciting.
I like this idea. We've talked about it before. Maybe it's a topic for another episode, but this idea of like the prestige of releasing, infrequently. I mean, I think I was just having a conversation over the weekend about like the way that Quentin Tarantino is like, he's one of those directors who's only got 9 films so far. He's Chris Nolan only has 8 or 9 films so far in their career, whereas you can look at other directors who it's like, they work faster, they take on different projects that they don't write and fully produce and develop themselves, and so you end up with. You have directors who, are more journeyman directors. You have directors who aren't even journeymen. They have a point of view, but they, you know, but they're like, you know, they crank out movies, but those few directors who work a little slower, it's like their movies feel more special in a lot of
there's
ways.
There's an event aspect to it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and when a Steven Spielberg movie comes out, it's great. You know, like, it's like exciting and like cool. He has a new movie out, but it's different. It's treated differently, and I'm not comparing quality of these two. I'm actually a bigger Spielberg fan than the person I'm about to say. But when James Cameron puts a movie out, it's more of an event because it's been 10 years since the last one. So it's just like, received differently.
He's not as prolific, and so...
Exactly. So, you know, it's like Stephen King. Like, he'll put out a... Like, his books have a baseline for how, like, you know, like, they're going to be solid, at least. And they might be great. But it's like he puts out more books than, you know, a writer who only puts out a book every now and then. Donna Tartt. There you go.
On that, I think, yeah, we should explore. I mean, what does that mean for the studio? It'll be interesting to see, like, what does their slate look like as more things get announced? As the future,
we'll be tracking
of Star
this
Wars,
closely. The droids are on the case.
We'll, and we, yeah, don't, hey, don't call us. We'll call you in your pod catchers, just like weekly normally.
And don't call me late for dinner.
Just don't call me late for dinner. Guys.
Hey,
we also had a little news story today that it was about the we had some news that rang a distant bell for the holiday special. Chris?
Yeah.
What's the deal here? What's going on? Why is the holiday special turning up on the news?
So in kind of this effort to hashtag make Solo 2 happen, people are kind of unearthing things about the script. And John Kasdan, one of the co-writers of the movie, is very he's very vocal about how the production and everything of Solo went on Twitter, and talks about it a lot. And he was mentioning,
he's vocal about how good and smooth it was.
Yeah, he was mentioning that Chewbacca, a lot of the Chewbacca scenes, he wanted to get build in references to the holiday special. So Chewbacca was going to actually name, I'm going to butcher the name, but Chewbacca is son of Antichtkuk, and of. They were going to have that reference built in, but it was pulled for some reason. Probably because...
Do you think they got a mysterious call?
Yeah, I think they're trying to burn that Christmas special still. And I,
just want to say there's an anonymous caller, and if that's in there, I'm not going to be happy about it. I'm not going to be really happy, and you might want to keep me happy. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I think they're still trying to bury that, and even if they aren't like truly doing that, I think it is a fun part of Star Wars to be like, have that be like the secret.
Somebody worked really hard for you not to know about that. And I'm just saying that maybe you don't want that person to be upset, you know, just on a personal level. You know?
That's exactly it. And wait, what did you say your name was?
I'm an anonymous. This is Star Wars Boy 420.
Okay.
Just a concerned citizen.
This is I'm just a good Samaritan making a citizen's arrest.
Is there two of you in the room?
No, this is me.
Yeah, him and Steven Spielberg are. They're both in the same room.
My name is Steven Lucas.
Sorry, George Steve Spielberg. And Lucas?
No,
or
George
Steven?
Spielberg. No, sorry. Gotta go.
This is Indiana Spielberg. And George Skywalker, and we're just here to say no.
I'm gotta go. I'm out of nights and weekend minutes.
That's like how disconnected
you know.
They are.
Well, yeah. No, I was gonna say George might have a flip phone, but no, he loves tech.
Yeah,
the guy loves tech.
Hey, he made a Star Wars.
Anyway, so that's an interesting story about how someone thought about doing something and then didn't do it.
It's a very disconnected story, but I do think it's neat that the Kasdans actually do. They get into a little bit of the fandom and. Maybe in Solo 2, we'll see a little bit of that, or the Solo 2 TV series.
If you're going to say that you tried to do something, why wouldn't you make it like, man, listen, I tried to make it so that Han and Rey were the parents of Rey, and she's her own mother, right before they exploded the 14th Death Star, but you know what? They wouldn't let me. Like, why wouldn't it be a...
Oh, yeah, like drop a little bomb like that.
Yeah, to me, it's like offering to help someone move after they did it. Oh, I would have helped you. Like, it'll you know, it's like...
Yeah.
This is where, so Chris, you were like, oh, it's good that the Kasdans, like, you know, enjoy the fan aspects and the relations that they have, you know, but I don't feel, I don't know, I find this kind of stuff really annoying. This is the kind of thing where it's like, I feel like if you're hired to do a job and you do the job and you like have a good relationship like with the company, like you shouldn't, it's like, this is the intent of this is like stirring up and trying to manipulate and orchestrate like and twist the arm of the company that paid you a lot of money to write something that was like the biggest thing in your career. I mean, until apparently John Kasdan's also on the untitled Indiana Jones project. So it's like, what are you complaining about? You have like the next thing that you also want to do. But it just like, it to me, it like reminds me of the stuff where we sometimes like where I sometimes get on Mark Hamill's case about like kind of pandering to fans and pandering to like some of the wrong aspects of fans. I think, yeah. I don't know.
I hear what you're saying there. In this case, though, this was caught by an eagle-eyed fan who saw in a special feature a screenshot of the script, and the screenshot of the script had included that, and so they asked him on Twitter.
Okay, well, said, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I love that story.
Take it all back.
Yeah, it said, is that a reference? And John Kasdan said, yeah, I like references to the special and tried and failed to get more in. One of the frustrating things about making a Star Wars is that you don't get to preview for a full audience like movies, so you don't get to test jokes like you like.
Ah, see, you won me back, and then you had him complaining about the process again.
Yeah, it's true.
But that is a pretty cool story. I like that it originated with a fan. Yeah. You know what?
And we won't complain when we write, "The droids you're looking for present Salacious Crumb."
To that eagle-eyed fan.
A Star Wars story.
You get a tip of the cat.
That's right.
Tip of the cat. I'll tell you what, if you're the eagle-eyed fan, if you're listening to this episode and you're the person who pointed it out, email droidspot@gmail.com and you could win a poster from Chris.
That's right.
You just give have to. Away.
You have to have tweeted this specific tweet.
And you thought you were having a big week before Eagle-eyed fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. The email you email us from has to be the email connected to the Twitter account.
And we're gonna do a reset password to prove it.
Oh, yeah, hi, this is the Eagle-Eyed fan. I just say I want the poster. Can I have the poster, please?
Sure, absolutely. What's the name?
The name is Rafin.
Okay. I'm Rafin. Okay, and, George, we know it's you. It's you again.
I'll tell you what, come on
the
pod. The
address is Star Wars Way, 1977, 420.
That's not an address. 420,
baby.
Oh, it's 420. Oh my gosh. Hey, speaking of addresses and people staying away from them.
Man, you know what? Christian Harloff really did his damage. Attendance is down at Galaxy's Edge. Even Bob Iger's talking
about
it.
That's true, yeah. Disney CEO on a sales call.
I just an earnings call. Excellent translation.
An
earnings call, a sales
not a
call.
A sales call. You think Bob Iger is on sales calls?
I don't know. Who cares? Same thing. You earn money through sales. He said some people just stayed away.
Yeah, so he was talking about...
Did he mention you by name, Chris?
This was a personal call. We have a sales call together. That's why...
He's trying to sell you on Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah,
he lost Christian Harloff, and he said, "Oh man, I'm making house calls now."
That's where we're at now. He's calling people one by one.
They ran some numbers, and they said, "This guy's buying every piece of paper that we print the logo." So get on.
Give me a list of everybody who bought the Han Solo shampoo, and I'm calling
right.
Them.
No, this is a quarterly earnings call today. Disney stock took a little bit of a hit, and basically what it is it's like all the numbers from the numbers from Fox Studios' remaining releases. So obviously Disney acquired Fox; those releases became Disney properties, and a lot of them underperformed. Probably related to all the people working on them not knowing whether or not they'd have jobs and whether or not they should market these movies at all, or like how much should be put into them. So, you know, a big one.
So weird, because I heard Dark Phoenix was just like Infinity War.
Yeah, you know, I had the same idea.
Hey,
that still makes
sense. Oh, man, that's like my movie's just like the greatest movie ever. So
you know, I have this little movie I shot with some friends. And I was trying to, I actually, on your sales call, Chris, I was talking to Bob. Mm-hmm. I hopped on the call for a minute and I was just telling him, like, it's basically like if he'd seen, I asked him if he'd seen Star Wars, mm-hmm. and like the way it was kind of this like hero's journey and stuff. Cause the movie I had like basically all the same ideas. So I you know, I made a few changes. It definitely, if it would have come out before Star Wars, it would have been like this. Everybody would have been like, wow.
I was just doing a corporate training video at work. I was editing one, and we had to go back and ask for more money to do reshoots because it was basically a beat for beat remake of Endgame.
I mean, that's very impressive. We started making
it before I saw Endgame. Yeah. Obviously, you know, you heard the review. I was a little worried because I thought, oh, my God, this is exactly what I just did.
Well, when you start seeing the trailers, it's like you're going like, oh, no, man, what order is this in? Because these are scenes from my movie. I hope they're in a different sequence. And then, of course, it comes out.
There's a whole sequence at the end where, like, the sales team, like, everybody, there's one guy who thinks he's alone, and then all the salespeople who've quit all come back at the same time. And I was like, oh, man, I can't. I got to change this.
I heard that the first cut of the first cut of the Phoenix.
That's what we're talking about.
Yes, and me here. What's the name of the movie?
Dark Phoenix.
Dark Phoenix. Help me out. We do the podcast remotely, so people can't see when I'm drowning. The first cut of Dark Phoenix was actually the Avengers Endgame movie.
All right. Well, a lot of people aren't going to Galaxy's Edge. It seems
people can hear
the
a man drown.
Kept them away.
I can kind of get that, though. It would make sense that if you hear, like, oh, hey, there's an 8-hour line. Remember the lines they were saying were going to be, like, 8 hours or something?
People were saying 10 hours. Yeah, there's going to be a 10-hour line.
Yeah, so people were like, I don't want to deal with that.
So I got an invitation to Galaxy's Edge. It was under a different name. It said, like, Christian something. But I was like, oh, they must have meant me. And I just chose not to go.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I was like, well, I know it's for free, but like the lines.
It probably had nothing to do with that. It was 120 degrees out all summer. So
it was, I mean, look, it's they really got people so like over the moon excited for this that it actually then scared people off. And they announced that like the big rides that they were selling it on weren't going to be ready.
Yeah.
So I think what this call was really more about was, you know, Bob Iger was kind of saying stuff that I think anybody would have maybe predicted, which is that people didn't come out right away. The park's not fully operational. We also told him it would take forever and it was a million degrees outside. So, and we're realizing all of the expenses of opening two of the most expensive theme parks ever. But like, they never expected to make that money this year, right? Like, that's a long play. It's going to be around for decades.
Let's hope this isn't the last Disney earnings call, because I think they're going down.
It's a sign of end times.
You know, you just buy a movie studio and, mm-hmm. you know, you haven't even been able to announce yet what you're doing with it. So, you know, it makes sense.
You know, we've all been there.
Yeah, think about when you bought your first studio and you had to axe your movie, I was just flailing
for about 6 months.
Guys, what else do we have on Star Wars? Anything?
I think that's it. I think we did it.
It's a little light, but I'm glad there is news. No news is good news. No, wait.
When it comes to Star Wars, it's the opposite.
It's the opposite.
You said, I'm glad there is news.
What if news is good news?
Hey, what if we
made...
To quote the immortal Mary Jane Watson in Spider-Man 2, I am glad.
What if... Hey, what if we made money on a flop? And that's the premise of this podcast.
What if we short the flop? We gotta short the flop.
The big shorts.
The big...
Hey,
they always say big shorts never flop, baby.
If you like this banter, you know what you can do? Go online, go to your iTunes, go to your Spotify. We never give Spotify podcasts any love. or Stitcher and rate, like, review us. Tell a friend. That helps. You can email us droidspod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter @droidspod. Go to Facebook. The kids still use Facebook?
Oh, no, yeah. We're on there. The Droids Podcast. You look us up.
Look us up. What are we? Do we have a Snapchat? What else do we have?
No. And honestly, guys, like, these accounts, they're as active as they sound when we can't remember the names of them.
Instagram @droidspod. Please hit us up. We need some questions.
Look. If you love this episode, hit us up. Give us the rate and review. If you didn't love this episode, like, hit us up and give us something to talk about, all right? Yeah. Because we're waiting
to
on
last
that episode
week's.
Nine. Yeah.
And the one before. And find one you like. You know what? Don't give up on things so easily.
Yeah.
What are you going to give up on this too?
Okay, Dad, got to go.
Hey guys, it's been real.
It's been real.
Well,
I can't wait for next week to Mike will have a nice list of attractions and additions and answers to questions.
We don't even know what they could be yet. How exciting is that?
This is
and
great.
We'll have and look the good. We'll also have a real host back. He knows what he's doing.
We're happy to have you back, Sam. And let's see if we can get that full Sabacc deck next episode.
Wonder who will be out next week on this revolving door.
We do have a revolving.
And with that, we'll leave you with that question. As we wrap up another episode of The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. What they throw?
Annie?